Bring them back to Luke 23. This is a well-known passage, and it's a great comfort for the children of God. Brother John Newton wrote about this. He said, "That dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." This is personal, isn't it? Some people have used this throughout time as a point of contention on baptism. The Lord said, "Believe and be baptized." And they said, "Well, see, this thief, he didn't have to be baptized." Well, no, but I ain't nailed to a cross, are you? Or the Lord's table, we don't have to take the Lord's table because this thief didn't. Or the 11th hour of salvation, right that last second. And some people have argued that this thief wasn't even saved and that the Lord was asking him a question. He said, "Shalt thou be with me today in paradise?" There's a question mark. But my scriptures, there's not a question mark, there's a period. And if the Lord was pleased to preserve his word throughout time, I think he can handle a period or a question mark, can't he? So let's not look for contention in this. And something for if somebody comes at you, just don't pay no attention to them. Go on. But let's look for comfort. Let's not look for argument, but for assurance. I don't want to look at controversy. I want to look at charity, at the Lord's love. Don't you? I got three divisions, and I hope I'm quick with it. The first one, I want to set the stage for you this morning and what's going on when, this is precious, this is really sweet to me, I think it will be to you too. What's going on when this occurred? What's happening? The context of it is fabulous. We need to know the context of what the Lord's talking about, or we don't know what he's talking about, we just know words. We don't understand, we have some knowledge but understand. Before we can get to context of what is happening when this thief is saved, it's a majestic. It truly is. And what then, if we get what's going on, what did happen, what did occur, and then I want to ask just a couple questions at the end. It's called a check on learning. But if we learn some stuff, the Lord showed us some things, we can put two and two together, can't we? Gives us some understanding. First, what's going on? When did this interaction of this dying thief occur? When the Lord spoke to this, he had words to say from that cross. And this dying thief said, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom." What was going on? This is an hour. That doesn't mean it's 60 minutes, but this time in creation and throughout eternity, this hour, this is that very hour, this is what time it is when this thief asked this, that all the Old Testament scriptures point to, that all the pictures and the types and the patterns and all hanging there. On that Roman cross at this very hour, this is Abel's lamb. That's hanging there. Hanging there. That's the Passover lamb. Not one of the millions that took place. This is the lamb. And this is him being sacrificed. That's what's going on. During this hour, it's what's happening. This is the one that Moses looked to, that Abraham looked to. This is the atonement. The blood's hanging in him right there. Of all the pictures of all those goats and bulls and sheep and lambs and the sprinkling and the hyssop and all that, all throughout time, when they sprinkled on the mercy, that's the mercy seat. It all pointed to this hour. This is important. Do you think it's important now? The Lord spoke about this hour all throughout his life. He told his mother. It was at a wedding, the first miracle ever performed in public, in his public ministry. She said, "Hey, they're out of wine." And he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." That's what he was focused on this hour. We ought to be focused on it. He spoke to his father. He prayed to him in John 12. He said, "Now is my soul troubled." This is a troubling hour. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour." This is why I'm here. God became a man pointing and coming to this hour. Him being the sacrifice. Him hanging on that cross. And Gethsemane said, "Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son." This is the glory of God, and this is the glory of Son in this hour. He has glorified him, and he's glorifying him right now. Christ is being glorified in this hour. That's what's going on. All those pictures and types pointed to, this is the hour that when the angel stood on that hillside, they spoke to those shepherds. And they said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. This is him saving, which is Christ our Lord. This is him there doing it. It's coming to fruition. It's coming to pass. It's happening. What he said he's going to do, he's doing. This is it. This can't be overemphasized. I need to get this. I need to pound it into my head. When that angel said to Moses, said, he shall bring forth a son, or said to Joseph, shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's doing it. That's actively what's taking place in this time, in as we call history. To us, time's a thing. To the Lord, he is. We can't wrap our heads around that. That's amazing. The hour that covenant of grace and mercy between the Father and the Son that deals with a people, it's being fulfilled right there. This is an important hour. And during this hour, there's seven recorded things that that Christ says from that cross in this word. Some have said before, they said, well, he quoted the 22nd Psalm. I said, well, I know what he told us he said. He gave us this to know that he said these things, didn't he? I know that. I don't need to speculate. He told me, and that's enough. If he said it, it's enough. This gives us a glimpse at the Lordship of Christ. We see him as the mediator. He cried from that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't have enough sense to ask the Father to forgive them. They just kept doing it. We don't have enough sense. Whenever you was lost, did you worry about being lost? I mean, I know a lot of people that are very successful, and they're really successful in business or their job or whatever, you know, their occupation. And they're very successful in family. They have, you know, happy families. They're very successful in finance. They got all the finances squared away. They're very successful in fitness. They stay in good shape, get up earlier in the morning, work out and all this stuff. And then as one of those pillars of total success, they find some type of religion and say, well, I ought to go to church somewhere. I'm good at everything else. I'll be good at this too. And it's just something that's, Paul said physical exercise profiteth little, doesn't it? We're not talking about doing push-ups, but going through the motions ain't going to do too good for you. We didn't even know to ask for that mediation, and he said in this very hour, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Is that to those that Peter's going to preach to at Pentecost and the Lord's going to prick their hearts and save them? Yeah, and that's for us too. I put him there. Now, what else you got? If the Lord shows us, if he shows me that it's because of me he hung on that cross, what brand of tires do I have on my car? Who cares? What else is more? What else matters? Nothing. Nothing. Just him. Right? Just him. He is our mediator. Speaking from that cross we read in John, he's our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. And the Lord saw Mary and John sitting there, and that's his earthly mother and his one of his brethren. That's his one of the apostles. And he loved both of them, but he was leaving. And she's going to be all alone. He's going to be all alone. So he provided for both of them. And he said, woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Y'all going to be without family. I'm your family, and I ain't going to physically be here, and you're going to be lonely. So guess what? That's your son now, and that's your mom. Now act like it. Y'all family. He provided for him. While providing, he provided. You get that? While providing as the lamb, he provided as the head of the household, as the head of this body he was looking out for. Christ our substitute scene. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken of God. That's what I earned. That's the death. That's the second death. That's the wages of my work. That's what when I punch my time clock, that's what I'm owed. And he bore that. He was forsaken. Why did he ask? Well, he's asking so we would know. He knew. He's been looking at this hour since he showed up from eternity. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go die for him. I'm going to be forsaken of God for them because they deserve to be forsaken of God. And they can't fulfill it. My blood's going to be shed for them. And man kind of argue, well, his soul didn't see corrupt, but did he go to hell? He's separated from God. Isn't that hell enough? to see his majestic and to want to be with him and to know him and then never be able to be with him. I know that woman back there. I know these children. I know something about what it means to not be with them, to work and not be around my children. I left for a year, and I couldn't be with them. We Zoomed some, or Skype, wherever it was back then. But that kind of made it worse. I just wanted to hug them. I didn't want the picture. I wanted them. I didn't want the video conference. I wanted to hug them, be in the same room as them, be with them. To be separated from that. The Father and the Son are one. You talk about love. Boy, the Father looked at the Son. He said, "That's mine elect. Look at him. I am well pleased in one thing, him." People say, "That's unconditional love." Ain't no such thing. Love's conditional. You want the love of God, you'll be in Christ. It's conditioned on him, on what he did, and his faithfulness and his fulfillment of all things. And he said, "That's who I'm happy with." And the Son looked to the Father the whole time. Right? The dreams he had. Never a smirk, never a sour thought, ever. Honoring the Father the whole time. Isn't that amazing? That's what's required of us. And he did it. And he said, "Why have you forsaken me?" God teach us that. Go learn what that means. Cause of me. Not cause of what... man thinks, or anything we can dream up or write down on a piece of paper, reading a book, or a theological standpoint. Me. That's why God forsook him. Martin Luther said, "God forsaking God, who can understand him?" Who can weigh into that thing? Are you wading that water? Christ, he spoke as the God-man. He said, "I thirst," from that cross. Here's the one that made the tree that they hung him on. He put the iron ore in the ground that they made nails out of. And he made the water that he thirsted for. And he said, "I thirst." He could have commanded that rain to come and quench his thirst at any minute. Why didn't he? Because as my representative and as your representative, I can't. He's showing he's a man. The appropriate substitute. That's like Kimma can't make it to a class and she has to get a substitute. Well, she can't get a mechanic to go down there and teach math, can she? It ain't the same. You can't get a giraffe to go down and teach that class. We understand that. Well, for that land to be provided, that sacrifice to be provided for man, it has to be a man. And he says, "You get thirsty." He said, "I thirst." He's a man. This is the right substitute. And he was the victor. He must be tempted with that thirst too. He must be tempted in all points like we are. Have you ever been distracted from work because he's thirsty? "I don't drink till the end." That's always precious to me. He said, "I'm thirst because it work's over. I'll drink water later. I got work to do." To me, that's precious. About in a hot sun. He's out there in the sun, wasn't he? And he spoke as the victor. He said, "It's finished." There's a work. There's an hour to come. There's a work to be done. And it's finished. Done. Complete. Over. Nothing to be added to. Nothing can be taken from. Work's done. Done. What was finished? What was finished? That's important, isn't it? All the promises of God are finished. Complete in him. All the prophecies that it looked to. All the patterns and the pictures and the types, all that. Finished. What else? Our sin. Where'd it go? It's gone. Lord don't remember it no more. How can the Lord that knows everything can't forget? They didn't remember. There ain't nothing there to remember. It's gone. It's finished. Now, we still see it. We're still alive in this body, ain't we? And we look at ourselves. I got a mirror. I know what I think. I know what I've done. I say that, I mean it. I just let it slip this week. Three people on this earth, or five people on this earth, know something I did 20 years ago. This is the anniversary of it. You wouldn't eat lunch with me. He knows. And that's been put away. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Just like Ruth. He said, "Boy, you did great. You take care of your mother-in-law. I heard about that. I heard of what good things you done." She said, I begged to tag along is all I did. I just grabbed hold of her and wouldn't let go. And Boaz said, "That's fabulous. You did great. I heard all about it." That's what the Lord does. It's finished. Sin's put away. The curse of the law. gone. He's been made a curse for us. That covenant of works and it's fulfilled, all of it. Sin, death's been accomplished. Hell's been overcome by Christ. Being forsaken of God, what's important, is overcome by Him. It's finished. The captain of our salvation, the battle's over. War's done. It's finished. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Sufferings of over. Sufferings. If we see this, we could say with Paul, these afflictions that we have are light. Now, while we're in it, boy, it hurts. And I ain't diminishing that. There's things that people suffered in this room that I ain't never lived through. And I hope I don't have to. But when we see what we earned, the Lord ain't dealt with us according to our sins, has He? That ain't so bad. And then we see what He paid for us. What Christ suffered, what's my sufferings? We don't even understand light afflictions. And but for a moment of a vapor, a few days, and it's over. And the Lord allowed us to know these things and gave us peace during that. And He sent the trial to keep us. Because He suffered. And He speaks as our forerunner. He says, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Hebrews 6 says, the forerunner is for us entered. Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is that one. I don't have to be afraid of death because He's already been there. I don't have to be afraid of what's going to take place and going to glory. It's going to be different. I don't know what that's going to be like. But He did it. He did it. And He says, I'm going to come get you. I showed up at Basra, Iraq years ago, and my friend was there, Kenny Poe. And he got there before me. And he had been there for a couple weeks, and that was my friend. And he cared for me, and I cared for him. And I hadn't seen Kenny in a couple weeks, and I missed him. We was just thick as thieves, just like brothers. I loved him. And I showed up, and I was nervous. And I thought, well, where am I going to stay? Well, where do we get our bags? Well, where's the showers? Where's the bathroom? I don't know how to do it. Where's the chow hall? How are we going to eat? But Kenny was there. I showed up, boy, I thought, he'll at least tell me. There's two privates sitting there waiting to carry my bags. I didn't have to carry a bag. He said, oh, we already got you a plate of food in case you're hungry. We didn't know what time he's coming in. Here, I got your room ready, where I got your linens drawn and all that stuff. Right there is a shower house. Make sure you use that one on the left. It's got hot water. The rest don't. They didn't plumb it right. And my friend looked after me. I get that. Now, you're going to die. I'm going to die. I saw some weird clouds the other day, and I thought we all might be going to glory right now. I got excited. Do I need to be afraid of that? We will be, because we ain't never done it. But our forerunner has went ahead. He said, Father, I commend my spirit. This ain't just this body, because I experienced pain in a body. He said, my soul's in your hands. I'm coming to you. So whatever that consists of, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother already there waiting. Everything's planned. Everything's took care of, provided for. Now, knowing that, the Lord's brought us to this field and made us hungry, and our faces have hit the ground, and He's high and lifted up, and He's already entered into it for us. It's all finished, and He's mediated for us. We say with Paul, don't we? Oh, death, where's thy sting? God told me one time, He said, I'm going to kill you. I said, it's the best thing you can do for me. Do me a favor. Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our victor. He's our victory. He's our forerunner. Now, with all that going on, that's a lot going on, isn't it? 4,000 years of prophecy coming to pass. An eternity of love and a covenant of grace manifesting itself. I mean, you ever been doing something and your kids come to you and say, hey, I'm busy, don't bother me. He's busy. I felt that, ain't you? I hope this is a blessing to you. This is what's going on. You ever went to pray about something and you thought, I need to pray to the Lord about that? And then you thought, I don't need to bother Him. This is little. I don't need to go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. We just sang it. There's so much peace that we've just forfeited because we didn't go to God in prayer. We had peace. We just threw it away. I forfeit. Why? We didn't put our face in the dirt and bow to Him and seek His face. I've done it too. But this will be precious. With all that going on, it's an important hour. Christ fulfilling our as our mediator, our provider, our substitute to God, man, the victor, and our forerunner. This very hour, two malefactors are crucified with him. Two criminals. Criminals. That Rome was a rough place, and these were so rough, they said, kill them. They can't be here. These are bad folks. Matthew records both of them mocked him. Both of them did. Said, likewise also the chief priests mocking with the scribes and the elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I'm the Son of God. That's thorough charges, isn't it? And the thieves, plural, also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. In their teeth, they gnashed at him, just like it did Stephen. It come across their teeth, and if they could have reached over and got him, they'd have bit him. They did the same thing, both of them. Both of them talked for a while. For a while. But one became quiet. One kept talking, and the other one finally shut up. And he was quiet before he spoke again. Both cast their teeth at him, but one went silent for a little bit. He was shut up to sin. Wouldn't that be nice? Lord gave us one mouth and two ears on purpose. If we could ever get a person to be quiet, not talk, and just listen, to be still and consider, the scriptures say. And this ain't Thacker, this is the Lord's word. Be still and know that I am God. Let every mouth be stopped. Just stop talking. Stop talking. We was at that farmer's market. Our nature is to not listen. Born of Adam, we want to tell what we know, and instead of hush, be instructed and listen, be taught of God. That's our nature of Adam. We don't want to hear what God has to say. We want everybody to hear what we have to say. And we was down at that farmer's market. Kim was working yesterday, and I said, well, I'll go sit with you. And so we sat down there, and I got so guilty feeling. I thought, boy, I haven't. My hands to this plow, but buddy, I'm a horrible servant. We should have got us easy up, and we put a table down there for the church. And let them know that we're here, getting this community. You're in this community, and I'm in this community, and let's make it known. Because she was saying, we want to let people know that this school's in the mold. I ought to have a tent down there saying, well, God has a field. Boaz got him a field here in Hamul. I felt guilty, and then I thought it through. So, you know, sometimes you have ideas, and you're like, I'm going to do this. But you, over the years, you mess up enough stuff. You know better than I do. And you think it through. Like, how would that look? What would that feel like? And then I thought, it'd be unprofitable. All that'd be is a theological arguing ground. It'd be a battlefield to go out there and argue doctrine over. And people want to tell me what they think. Somebody finds out I'm a pastor, first thing they do is tell me what great faith they have or what soup kitchen they work at. Or what, and she gets it just as bad as I do. Oh, I'm sorry I said those things. Well, why? Am I different now than I was 5 minutes ago? People want to have an open forum or an area to speak what they want to say, not to hear what God has to say, and it'd be unprofitable. But that one was quiet, wasn't he? The other one kept yapping. One was shut up. I don't know which of the Lord's words that he spoke was used to pierce that thief's heart. But after being quiet for a while, after hearing Christ speak for a while, he finally spoke. It says in verse 40. Luke 23, verse 40. But the other one answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? Don't you fear God? When did this thief start fearing God? Maybe right then. 30 seconds before that? I have no idea. Since he'd been on that cross, somewhere between gnashing his teeth at Christ and now saying, whoa, hold on. I'm going to honor that one. I'm the one that's dishonorable, and you are too. Why are you talking to him like that? Well, you just said something about him. Yeah, I know. Not now. Not now. God's done something. Not I've turned my life around. God showed his son to me. Something's changed. Dost not thou fear God? God put the fear of himself in that man. You know what that is? One, to be afraid, and two, to have honor. Both of them's right. What is that? That's the beginning of wisdom. As Bill Keithley said, now you're getting smart. We think we're so smart, don't we? Well, apart from Christ, apart from looking at him and fearing God, we're idiots. Wisdom ain't even come into the picture yet. We might know some stuff, but it ain't wise. Hold on now. That's God. What are we saying? That's the beginning of wisdom. Now he's getting smart. Now he's understanding something. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Me and you's the same. Don't you see we're all three committed to the same punishment, the same sentence? But this man, the Christ, he's sentenced on behalf of his people as our substitute. Now this man, this thief that railed on Christ, he saw him as the spotless Lamb of God. Now, he may have not had those words to tell you. He probably couldn't quote the scriptures. He didn't ever read. John Gill hadn't been born yet. He didn't know none of these things. He hadn't had any of these experiences. But God had worked in him, and he said, he ain't like us. I'm the bad one. That's the sinless one. I'm a wretch. He's holy. I'm a worm. I'm a maggot. I'm filthy rags. That's God. That's God. He saw the spotless Lamb of God, and he saw himself as the sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner. Yeah, well, me, you, and everybody else down to prison. Are you the sinner? Am I the sinner? It's personal, isn't it? Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We earned wage. We went to work that day. And our payment, death. That's all I am. That's the only paycheck I got coming. Death. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He ain't never missed the mark. It's been nothing but bullseyes. I mean, not even a little bit. For God to punish the sin that I am, to sentence me to separation from God, is just, it's right. It's my due reward. It's a fitting wage. But Christ is without sin, and he's done nothing amiss. This thief, this one worthy of capital punishment, looks to Christ. And he's only able to move his eyes and his tongue, and he petitions. He asks the Lord something. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember what Nicodemus and that rich young ruler came and said? Master. That's what Judas said too, wasn't it? Master, teacher, teacher. My God and my Lord, this King, the Lordship of Christ, the Kingship, this Kinsman Redeemer. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You're a king, and you're going to come to your kingdom. Period. He knows it. I want to have a thought-provoking title, but not be provocative. You understand? Christ immigration policy. People want to talk about immigration policy. Here it is. You want to be in that kingdom? Lord, remember me. Just think about me. Remember me. That's all I need. That ain't, don't sound like much. That's everything. It really is. Well, I heard a fellow traveling singer one time said, I'll never forget the Lord, the day the Lord saved me. You just might. Lord might take your mind from you. You may not know your own name. But if he remembers me, my brain don't matter. It can turn to mush all at once. I'm in his hands, not my hands. I'm in his memory, not my memory. Nothing's contingent on me. It's all contingent on him. Now, this fellow knew something, didn't he? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. When's that? Whenever you're pleased. He didn't say, Lord, take these nails out of my arms and my feet. Make him stop putting swords in my side. I know you, and you've revealed yourself to me, and if I just have to sit here and suffer for 45 days on this cross without dying, that's fine too. But whenever you're good and ready, I'm going to be with you. I know that's my end state. Now I have an expected end. I have a hope. Not I wish. I have a hope, and it's in you. And I'll sit and wait. I'll sit and wait. Won't be long. Won't be long. Just a minute. Just a vapor. Just a hand breath. When we believe on the true and living God, with God-given faith, He's our Lord, and that's not an empty word, is it? Remember me. Remember me. Not, he didn't say forgive my sins or pardon my iniquities or give me a mansion or forgive my unknown sins, Lord. He just said, think on me. Think on me. We don't need to experience experiences. We don't need to experience feelings in this life. We need God to look our way and think on us in that time of love, don't we? David said, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Just walk out in creation. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would you even think about me? Isn't that what Ruth asked? Why have I found grace in your sight? Not, I know how you love me, but I guess if I got time, I'll love you, Lord. Oh, I see how I love you. You're everything. How could you love a wretch like me? It's so, he has. He said so. It's still baffling, isn't it? This good news is good news. Too good to be true, isn't it? No, it's true. We just can't wrap our minds around it. This thief was once, right before, an enemy of God. And now he fears God. That's beginning of wisdom. The thief only served himself. And now he has an acknowledgement of sin. And he wants to warn others because he sees the value of a soul. We see his confession of the Lordship of Christ. He says, you're not going to stay dead, and you're coming into your kingdom. And we see the plea of mercy, remember me. Remember me. I don't know if you're keeping track. We covered six statements from a cross. Here's the seventh. You get, I was laboring that hour. All that going on. The Lord ain't too busy. We think too highly of our problems, if we think that, too lowly of him. No matter what's going on, cast your care on him. Trust him. Believe him. Look to him. We've seen the mediator, the provider, the substitute, the God-man, the victor, the forerunner, and now the Savior. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily. Remember what that means? Truly. And if God spoke, it is true. And if he's cautioning us to say this, I'm telling you the truth. Well, we got to pay attention. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There's never been a person more hopeless than this man. What gospel would work for him? Do or done? You got to do something. You got to wash or work or witness or anything. You got to be baptized. You have to take the Lord's Supper. All he could do was look and beg with mercy for his tongue. Old writer said he couldn't walk, couldn't work, couldn't witness, couldn't wash, and he couldn't wait. Well, that gives me a lot of things to consider. Well, you go consider it all the way to hell. Right there's a Savior. Lord! Call on him right now. I called on him yesterday. Well, today's a new day. Call on him now. Lord came to redeem sinners that are helpless, hopeless, and desperate. Desperate. Let's not forget that. We all know we're helpless. We all know we're hopeless. Let's not forget the Lord's people are desperate people. In a lot of what's happening on this tremendous hour, I want to ask you these things. Was this man saved? Old J.C. Ryle said, of all the saints saved throughout history, not one ever received so glorious an assurance of his own salvation than this penitent thief. The one what we would, man, we have a nature, I do too. We think, well, he didn't do nothing. You think he wanted to? He didn't, but probably couldn't even read. He didn't memorize any scriptures, nothing. He said, Lord, remember me. And he said, today, buddy, before the lights go out, me and you are going to be in paradise together. What a thought. He's saved. That was a question. Is this man saved? Yes. The answer is yes. Was this man saved by grace or works? He never helped anybody. He never went to church. He never was baptized. Never taught a Sunday school class. All he did was steal from people for himself. So was that works or grace? By grace are you saved. Through faith, he believed on God. Christ gave him his faith to look to Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Will the newest, most feeble, small, itty bitty mustard grain amount of faith save? Or do you have to wait a little bit longer? Do you have to go in front of that system of and get within a plurality of elders and then go through a process, give it 6 months and all that until it matures some? And that man never done anything, had he? Never done nothing but cuss God, and he believed on Christ right then. And he said, "You're going to be with me today." His knowledge and his understanding was a person right there with him that never left him alone, never would leave him alone. He knew that man hanging on the cross was God Almighty in human flesh, and he could save to the uttermost. He was related to him. He was able to, and maybe he just might be willing. Let's wait. God might be willing. Let's wait and hush and pray to him. It just might be. Just like David prayed that, didn't he, for his son? He said, "Why, what's wrong with you? Your son died. Now you're okay. You wasn't okay then." He said, "Well, it just might be, Lord. Be merciful and save him." And that's what that king of Nineveh said. Same thing, wasn't it? Maybe God will be just or justify himself and be merciful to us at the same time. Maybe he'll justify us. Maybe he'll be merciful. Well, he delights to show mercy. He does, don't he? But that's the attitude of which we come. We don't come demanding. Now, you said you like mercy. Now, you give it to me. No, that ain't it. Lord, if you're willing, if it's your will, if you're willing, you can save to the uttermost. He knew he was a sinner in need of mercy, and that the one that was able was right there with him. What else do you need to know other than Christ? For somebody to be wise, what do we need to know other than him? Nothing. Like, I want to know how to read. I'm not saying don't teach your children how to read, okay? Chris Cunningham said that one time. He said, "If y'all going to do something, ask your pastor first." He said, "Now, don't be a small child. And if you see a Snickers wrapper out in the parking lot, say, 'Well, Chris didn't tell me to pick this up.'" Let's have some sense. I want to do those things. I want to learn how to read better and read him. I want to study. I want to prove his faith faithful. That's what I want. But nothing's required. And nothing's more wonderful than knowing him. That's life. What's life eternal? Knowing him. Will Christ save any sinner that comes to him and beg for mercy? This one was blaspheming God just moments ago. What more could we do that's worse than that? And our proud, boastful, self-righteous selves thinking we're right, just like him. He ain't no different than us, is he? This man's too wicked to dwell in Rome, so they killed him. But our Lord said, you can live with me. Rome won't have you, but I will. I'm a friend of sinners. I'll sit down and eat with them. You can eat with me. They won't eat with you. I'll eat with you. Come here. For I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners are a rare thing. Can God save a thief? Can he save a drunk? Can he save a prostitute? Can he save a pedophile? Or worse, can he save a self-righteous person that's caught up in religion thinking they're doing something good for God? If he reveals himself to them, they shall be saved. Period. If this man is saved, and he is there any other way to be saved? All that going on in this hour. And the Lord, while doing that, while saving his people, he saved one of his people. This is the method. There ain't no other way. If I'm saved, if you're saved, if anyone else has ever been saved or ever will be saved, it'll only be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be his work of doing it. It is. He's the author. That means he wrote it. And he's the finisher. That means he writes the end of it. Of our faith. That saving faith. He authored it. He kept it. One day it's going to go away. There's an end to it. There's a finish to that faith. Because we're going to see him as he is. And we're looking at him. Do you believe in the Redeemer? There he is. He's right here with us. Made just like him. The same way this thief was saved, looking to him is how we're saved. And if you're a sinner, look to Christ. Beg for mercy. And maybe not today, but there'll be a day you'll be with him in glory. We'll be in that kingdom forevermore. Amen. All right.